there's a section in the report where they're like self-diagnosing whether they are a high performing team.
Yeah.
And what they're saying is there's a steady trend up in the high performers.
Yeah. Are you distrusting the self-assessment of...
I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, I'm doing really well. Thanks for asking. Hello, welcome to Cloud Unplugged. I'm John Shanks.
And I'm Jake Ashore.
And we are going to be talking about the State of DevOps Report Platform Engineering 2023.
Whoa, exciting topic. Let's talk about a report.
We're going to be like news reporters.
Yeah, exactly.
And we're going to like give people the facts and the data, like real statisticians in the industry. It was obviously, there's been the State of DevOps Reports that have come out year on year.
Do you know how long they've been going for?
I don't actually know how long they've been going for.
Like,
I think
10 years or so.
Like, is it really that long?
Quite. I mean, it. I guess.
Oh, just you not know how long
I do, yeah. I was just seeing if you'd read it.
I've read several years, but I've never gone back in time to like read.
So maybe we should contextualize like Puppet and DevOps and then the report to platform engineering, because there's a real kind of link in who's creating the report, why they're doing it, you know, what it means, etc. You know, just to kind of contextualize it. Puppet, I'm not sure if you know, is a configuration management tool.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, back in the day before all of this immutable infrastructure stuff, people used to have these VMs and machines that they would have to manage and control the state of, and, you know, have configuration packages, things that were installed in those things. And you'd use configuration management tools like Puppet, Chef, Ansible to manage that across an estate, right? Obviously, that's a DevOpsy type tool, a tool that you would use. So they've obviously got a vested interest in this area and understanding and educating the market about it, hence them doing a report.
Yeah.
But it's nuts, 10 years.
Yeah, I would never have clocked it was 10 years. Yeah. I thought Google was involved in one of the reports before, because I remember that.
There was a Dora one. I think they had two different reports.
Yeah, I get a bit confused. But yeah, I know there's been releasing. I only known them from Puppet, but I haven't really read every single one every year for like the last 10 years, obviously, because I wouldn't have known. But I think it goes back in it from 2018, maybe. There's like a graph in the report, 18.
All right, cool.
Up to 22, potentially, I think. And looks at like the change of like performance of teams.
That's cool. So, there's a section in the report where they're like self-diagnosing whether they are a high-performing team or a mid-performing team or a low-performing team or whatever. And what they're saying is there's a steady trend up in the high performers. Well, self-reporting that they're a high performer. So take that. So
distrusting that means, the self-assessment of...
I mean, I don't know.
I'm doing really well. Thanks for asking. How good are you? I am really good.
Yeah, exactly.
Thanks for asking. Yeah. Cheers. Okay, that's 20%. That's really good. Yeah.
I think that's almost part of the problem.
Is it not? Because, well, yeah, I mean, they're never going to go in as a...
No, because there's no, like, how can you, like, know? We've talked, you know, even in the last episode, we're talking about metrics and measurements and things like that. And sure, there's some industry standards like Dora metrics and things like that. But like, you're now kind of giving it to the team to self-diagnose whether they're high performing.
No, I don't think they do. I think they ask questions like, how often are you releasing to production? You know, is it these? And I think maybe they're giving options.
They use the Dora
framework. Unless you're asking loads of people in the business, you probably might ask a team that, the one team could be high from, I don't know. Yeah, but there is obviously, like anything, when you get data, it's all got a bit of fallibility in it. So, but the point is that this is a platform engineering one. And then they've kind of said in it, like, basically, if you want to be better, if you want to have better DevOps success in your business.
Ooh, that sounds like a thing I want. What's DevOps success?
Yeah, you want DevOps success? Do you want some DevOps success?
I'll have one of those, please, yeah.
Do you want high, medium, or low?
Elite.
Elite isn't even mentioned in it.
Oh, no way.
Yeah, Elite wasn't mentioned in it, that I saw anyway.
What about like Gold, Diamond, Platinum?
Yeah, you've got to subscribe. You've got to subscribe, $20, $20 a month. So obviously ranking based on the Dora metrics, obviously deployment frequency, mean time to recovery, all those, change rate, blah, 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 that we've spoken about before. There are episodes, if you want to listen to those. But I think they must ask the questions to assess, and then they've seen a trend up. And they've also worked out like more of the how.
Mm.
And I think the report's been very much on the what.
Yeah.
now they're like, actually, maybe if you've done platform engineering, what's the impact of platform engineering ways of working over DevOps?
Plus, there's a bit of a trend in the market, right? Towards platform engineering. Obviously, that's kind of part of this report being even published and using that term.
Yeah, exactly.
Stuff like that. So it makes sense. So summarize it, like just that top line bit, what they're saying. So
basically, you're just better.
You're just better.
You're better if you've done platform engineering, which I think, you know,
makes sense.
Makes kind of pragmatic sense. Of course. And you've engineered in one place and
you've got the skills, you've enabled developers to operate in a, you know, efficient way, to do things declaratively, etc.
And therefore, because of that, you end up the principles of DevOps around how quickly people are moving things into production and
Completely.
You know, how quickly things are reliably scaling and fixing themselves, then it's like, because you probably put a lot of that in one way of working, essentially, which then meant the probability of it succeeding was higher than it being disaggregated. So I think it more just proves the disaggregated versus central model and then engineering in one place. What they mean by platform engineering is left a bit ambiguous around its self-service principles and these kinds of things. So they do kind of talk about it. It's got your favorite term, cognitive load, in there yet.
Boom.
There's no DORA metric for cognitive load yet. So are you frowning? You're frowning quite hard. I'd say that was a high. That was a high frowning cognitive load on that person.
Oh, I see. Okay. It's like, what is he doing? Like, I'm definitely like, not frowning.
You look like you're really concentrated. That looks like high cognitive load. Cameras assessing people's faces.
Maybe they just need to go to the toilet. Who knows?
But yeah, so it mentions that, which really, I mean, I'm not a fan of that term. Sorry, it does wind me up. It's just either your productivity, like developer productivity, let's just call it.
But look, productivity is a measure, right? But the fact that you have to context switch, understand, and all of these things, it's part of it. Cognitive load is it's a known term.
You could say that about literally everything and anything.
Yes,
which is what makes it very unspecific.
True.
Like, developing operating model. Load. Obviously, things operate. Cloud model.
Operating model. You know, it's
they're
like,
all just things that are very ambiguous.
Exactly, which is our, you know, part of the thing that we're doing. Hopefully, in this podcast, is to help
to keep saying the ambiguous terms.
Is to help like reduce the ambiguity to demystify some of the terms.
Yeah, but if you're wanting to adopt, if the purpose of platform engineering is to make things better,
For
cognitive load or not, either you'll be more productive and you've got better velocity or you don't. Now, if the velocity is high, I'm going to just naturally assume that, you know, I mean, I could make an assumption about cognitive load, or maybe it doesn't even matter. Maybe cognitive load didn't even factor into it because you were still operating faster and the velocity was quick.
But faster, that's it. It's relative. The point is, it's relative. Cognitive load.
And how do you measure cognitive load?
It's, again, relative.
But how would you measure it? So how are you going to go into a business today to say, I want to assess what the cognitive load is of my developers?
You're not going to, but you can, as in you can't like quantitatively do it. You can obviously look at what they're doing, have a bit of an audit of their practices and then say, oh, wow, okay, it really feels like you're trying to solve the world here. You're full stack engineers, you're doing some infrastructure stuff, you're developing, you're having to do like business MI reporting, all this kind of stuff, right? Like, if you're doing all of those things, you're not going to be efficient. Like, there's no way that you can be efficient and be brilliant at all of those things. You cannot. I mean, I'd love for people to prove me wrong here, but my thought is that it's just not possible. So,
but with ChatGPT,
well, maybe.
I guess the point is like, I mean, that's kind of a little bit of a facetious thing, but also maybe there is something in that, like in which case there is no cognitive load for the developer. It's also still not a good use of their time. So irrespective, I guess the point is being productive is different from like a cognitive load experience. It's like, I don't...
Productivity is probably a measure, but how can you measure productivity?
That's it. That's what the DORA is supposed to be there for, isn't it?
No, that's not really productive. Like, that's different because that's more aligned to...
an outcome.
Yeah, exactly. But like developer... like how quickly you can make changes and keep those.
That's what Sodora is.
Yeah, yeah. That's what I'm saying. So like that's productivity is just one small sliver of that, really.
Yeah, but it's probably the most important one to look at.
It's like productivity isn't about, say, how you're meeting your users' requirements, whether that business is succeeding or not. It doesn't have anything to do with
that. No, but when it comes to platform engineering, also that's not something you were responsible for anyway. Yeah. So it's like, why would that matter at that point? Because it doesn't impact you. You know, I guess you're not going to be involved in that as a platform engineering team about user research.
But like, say cost, right? Like Dora metrics, nothing to do with cost.
Yeah, I know. So, shocking.
Yeah, I know. Nuts. But like cost of your cloud stuff or cost of the team that's
totally agree
there,
with that.
Right? So like,
but that should be correlated with the productivity, right? That's what I'm saying. Yeah. So the two go hand in hand. I've never heard of a business ever mention cognitive load in my life about a measurement or something they're worried about. I understand the trend of it's not a helpful thing when it's high. Obviously, I get
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
But I'm that's not it, sure it's the thing to get so hung up on to the point of the marketing materials of what's going on in the industry. That's what I'm saying. I'm like, out of all the things to have spoken about, I wouldn't have ranked it quite up there given the amount of marketing it's getting. But hey, that's just me.
Yeah.
So I just feel for a business, you know, there's things in there that are saying you really, really good things, to be fair, that centralizing is obviously a good thing.
Yeah, that's true.
There's some additional things like you've already pulled on where they didn't ask about cost and they haven't asked about the number of projects or the applications. So there's no real correlation to a business metric to say, yeah, I mean, we are high performers and it's costing us £300 million to be high performers.
Yeah.
Right. If that's the case, obviously we're ludicrous.
And now we don't make any money anymore. So
yeah, we're out of business. We're out of business now because we're spending more on being a high performer than we actually could deliver.
But at least we're in this, you know, right to the top.
So I'm free. I'm on the market. Yeah. You can hire me. I'm a high performer. that's not contextualizing value.
Mm.
It's because it's got value from a metric perspective, but not value from a financial ROI perspective at the moment until you can see it.
Yeah.
So I think there's a bit of a missing piece of the puzzle, which would have really helped to say, well, you know, what's the ratio even of your platform team to developers?
Yeah.
What does that look like? Yeah. How many is it taking to underpin the delivery overall? And what's the cost of that team? And then what was the cost of the hosting?
Exactly.
You know, all those things are really important.
Exactly. I was
no mention of that.
Literally just about to say that, right? Like, that was really creepy.
That was.
The thing that I was about to say was that cost bit. So, you know, what the cost is of your platform and infrastructure teams, cloud infrastructure team, whatever, and the developers, the cost more so than the number of people. So, we talk about ChatGPT and all of this like really high, like all of this knowledge is out there in the world and it is being kind of commoditized and hopefully productized to be commoditized, which means that you can now operate potentially with lower skill sets, more junior people, whatever. That don't mean you have to have, you know, 8 senior platform engineers to build a platform. You can just have like a few juniors to keep the lights
on.
And a lead, exactly. So
to come back to the report,
yeah,
it's also saying, which is controversial, that people aren't investing in product managers for their platform teams.
Do you reckon that product management
exists? Do user research and get the requirements of the platform they're building? And the question is, okay, like that feels quite like that's a high investment now at this point. Maybe it's valuable, but it's like you're now going down a path of more role types on top of something like you're really committing to this platform, internal platform at this point.
And it's quite niche, like product management obviously has been around for a little while now, although in a lot of businesses, it still seems a fairly new concept, right?
Yeah, to some traditional businesses, yeah.
To traditional businesses and stuff. I think what really seems like a stretch is having product managers for the cloud and DevOps-y type space. How mature do you think that is overall in the market? And then, because obviously what the report is calling out is that they should invest.
Yeah, it does really lead you to that, as in people feel like there isn't an investment in it and it isn't prioritized. That was in the report. But also it's like, well, that's because it's not a product you're selling.
Exactly.
So why would you be investing to that extent? Where's going to be the ROI on this investment for the business overall? And if you haven't done your due diligence on attaching to the money anyway to prove out that this platform you are building is returning ROI, because you didn't bother, you're just looking at Dora, then why would a business invest in such a high set team unless you could prove that we're going to get it from A to B. We're just going to drop the, you know, whatever it is, we're going to have faster revenue or whatever it's going to be. It's going to pay for itself, this team, because we're going to do these things. And these are our goals and these are our metrics. And this is the team we're going to need to do it. And actually, you know, we're going to smash it and, you know, new markets. And but I never hear that. So it's like, I don't see where, and I'm probably our businesses maybe that do that and have got good business plans around why they're justifying the platform team. And I'm sure there are organizations that do it, but I'd say that was an exception to the rule rather than the rule. And it doesn't suggest you do that in the report either. When you're saying to advocate for a platform team, it's very siloed. It felt like a very siloed report. And it's a bit frustrating because DevOps was already kind of a little bit siloed, which was an anti-pattern to what it was supposed to be.
Embedded.
It was supposed to be getting the right behaviors for developers, you know, better velocity. And it's like, you are technically getting that, but in a still a siloed way of thinking and not necessarily matching the business requirements and what the team cares about.
The thing that you just said, though, which was quite good, is platform team versus platform engineering team. And just like to pick up on the nuance of that, like platform engineering feels like you're engineering something and building something, which might then mean that, you know, having a product manager against the thing that you're building makes sense. Platform team is probably more aligned to like what your function is, like cloud platform team in the business, right?
Yeah.
And then it doesn't necessarily dictate or imply how you should achieve that outcome.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
I agree. Yeah.
And like, I'm just wondering about like the, what this industry is doing in terms of like, how they're using the words to imply and infer that you should be doing like...
So you need to do loads of engineering.
Exactly.
Or are you going to find the right things within the team that means you are platform centric?
Exactly.
Without doing loads of engineering.
Yeah.
Because they are very different.
Yeah.
And you're going to hire loads of engineers would mean you're planning to do loads of engineering.
Mm.
Yeah. I mean, that's definitely true. So a team, platform team doesn't necessarily mean that it's doing loads of engineering necessarily. Yeah. It doesn't mean you have to be specializing so much in platform engineering.
It's an outcome. It's not the way you do it.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So, yeah. It's accountability to...
Or accountability, responsibility maybe.
Yeah.
Given we've sort of defined what cloud platform teams or cloud platform engineering teams are supposed to do.
Yeah.
Yeah, makes sense. So yeah, what else does the report say? That's interesting.
Pretty much from a high level, without getting into the details of like the percentages of improvements and all these other things, that was kind of the take home. So it kind of frames what, I think it's for people that maybe didn't know about platform engineering too much. So it's framed what it is.
Yeah.
It's starting to frame why it's important, but under the lens of DevOps, obviously it's the State of DevOps report. I don't think it's helped. What's kind of oxymoronic in some ways for the report is it wasn't in line with the methodology of DevOps in some ways because of the missing information that was in it. The same as DORA, like the metrics of which are surrounding DevOps are not all the metrics, you're not all the right metrics you need when it gets to a business. And so it still feels if your methodology is about bringing business value for developers too and getting the right behaviors for developers to attach to business, DevOps as a methodology, even still, was slightly siloed from the organizational elements because it was more focused on, I feel, a more detail-orientated problem of like, you know, this team and that team and the silo and the bridge. So it started off to try and fix the silo, but it still left itself kind of slightly siloed. It's really weird on
the way that I think about it is like DevOps is a philosophy or a culture.
Yeah, the methodologies, and
platform engineering or platform teams, whatever, is a practice, right? It's like, this is how you would embed this philosophy or culture and achieve it in an organization efficiently with like a thing.
The philosophy was about collaboration, right, as well.
Yeah, yeah.
Collaboration means that you've got to be collaborating on some common value in the business, and the common value of a business would be a business goal.
Yeah.
And that in itself, when you stem it down, isn't just deployment frequency.
No, of course, yeah.
And I feel that there's some missing
users. Yeah.
Exactly, and therefore I feel like there's some missing metrics, a little bit. I mean, I'm not suggesting you need all of them.
Like, they've done obviously a good job. They, you know, it's relevant. We talk about it and things like that. But it's also probably quite hard to get all of this data across the or, you know, the major kind of industries and verticals that do this.
I'm not saying it's bad.
Yeah.
You know, I'm actually saying, I know it sounds just because I'm picking on a specific bit of it. The rest of it's really good. That's what I'm saying. And also platform engineering, really good. I think it leaves a lot of ambiguity still sometimes. And if I was a senior leader, you know, CTO or somebody, and you're like talking about advocating for DevOps, I have to show value.
Yeah.
That's my job.
Yeah.
There's financials. I've got to report on these things. Does it help me as a CTO do those things? It will do elements of it, but I have to attach to the money somehow. And that maybe is the job of the CTO to also do, right?
The business case to
the
why.
The business case as to why to do it, to contextualize. So maybe it's not the thing. But what was interesting is you talked about a philosophy and a way of working. And I'm not sure that this report picked on that when you read through it.
Oh, really?
Not necessarily, no. It was more about performance and principles and self-service and all these things over a kind of philosophy per se.
Maybe
it's a shoot because it's called DevOps. Yeah, so you exactly. should know what that is.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And actually, right at the beginning of the report, I remember it saying that they no longer use the term DevOps or recommend using the term DevOps. Because,
it
did mean something. And now it's been like overused in the industry. And
so gone for just, cognitive load.
So it's like changed. It's just made super ambiguous and people mean different things by it. Sometimes it's a role, sometimes it's a culture, sometimes it's a philosophy, sometimes it's like a product, Azure DevOps, you know, do you know what I mean? Like
DevOps product, yeah. Just get it, plug it in, just, done.
Yeah, we do Azure DevOps. DevOps
in a box.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. So yeah, it's just like all of these like terms have not helped to make that thing a well-known thing that you could just point at and everyone knows what they mean. That's what language is supposed to be,
right? Yeah.
Reduce the ambiguity, not add to it.
But we've spoken about like OKRs and objectives, key results and measurements and those things. Like if, irrespective of the philosophy of it, if what matters to the business is like stitching the results back to an objective, right? And that's why you've got OKRs, for example.
That's alignment of those.
Yeah.
Right, yeah, sure.
Then you can then measure like the effectiveness of what you're doing. That's the aim.
Yes.
Right? So irrespective of like philosophies and methodologies, they're like approaches to achieve it.
Yeah.
Right? So it's like, yeah, go and research, get your trade, understand like ways of working and things that you can do to achieve, like any discipline.
Yeah.
Right? And so like engineering has disciplines within it itself at a more granular level from unit tests and all these other things and all, right? And that goes on for all different disciplines. So I get it, like obviously learn their trade and have the principles and understand it. But from a measurements perspective, I still feel it's a little, I don't know, just like the results are important ones. And then I think there needs to be more overlaid over the top to actually say like, did we meet the objective of the business in line with what we expected? That's all I kind of
keep repeating. Did we meet the objectives?
Because who else is this report for if it isn't for the business? Who else is adopting DevOps?
True.
Not consumers.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, it's not like it's just the average Joe at home being like, I fancy doing DevOps at home today. It's like, it has to be for companies. Mm. So, if you know, it missed a little bit of a trick, I think, to have given more data points, which would have been really, that report would have been
everywhere.
So amazing if that lens was put over the top of it, because it would have really helped contextualize maybe the size of the businesses and the costs that they're investing.
That's true.
Over DevOps, like all that, those extra additional data points would have made it more tangibly understandable of the value.
And then I think it does some way of like describing or talking about the investment or areas that their businesses are worried about. So whether it's like security or investing in self-service or onboarding and all of those things.
Yeah, and they prioritize like logging, observability and things like that. Yeah,
exactly. But then I guess almost just like things. Tying them to like
they're just a things thing. You can do, right? They're like, there's a reason why you need those things and it's not necessarily explaining the reasons. I mean, we can assume the reasons.
Exactly.
But it's like, I just still don't, is having 75 people, you know, with a one-to-one ratio of developers, 75 to 75, good?
I know of a place with similar, that's set up in a similar way. I think we've spoken to obviously lots of different customers all the time.
I do know of companies. And it's just not cost effective.
Yeah,
just,
I know.
Just not cost effective. Sorry.
How does it work? Who's making these decisions?
It's not cost effective.
Yeah.
To be engineering so much that, and even some of the things that they're engineering, you're like, there's tools out there that do it. Open source, you don't even have to pay for them.
Yeah.
That have already done exactly what you've just engineered.
Better,
yeah.
Used by everyone. You don't have to come into a place.
Really don't need to do it again. Reinvent the wheel.
Yeah.
I think
you get a lot of that, right? Like people with a hammer, everything's going to be a nail. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it's like if you hire a bunch of engineers, and maybe that's part of the thing that they're trying to articulate as well, right? So like if you're going to hire a product manager, then they're thinking about building a product, building things. If you're doing user research, then hopefully you're leaning into the problems that you're actually solving and the value that it gives. You should definitely do that. Like, do some research within your organization, the wider sort of business. Try and figure out what it is that you're actually really striving for.
Definitely agree with that. I suppose that is that product managery thing, which is kind of needed, really. You've got to know your users you're building things for, and you've got to invest. The developer would have to be involved in a lot of this to know you what you're doing is actually helpful to them. Obviously, you can't just do it.
Maybe not a job specifically.
Yeah, but that has to happen.
That someone wears.
Yeah, I agree with
you. Do
that.
You know what I mean? Like, because it feels like a really weird thing to invest in without really truly understanding the problem. So it's like a role that someone wears for a while and continuously wears to make sure that their
user research with developers, get feedback, do surveys on them, make sure they're happy with the tools that you provide.
And then also like documentation and things like that, right? That's, you're always going to have documentation in an organization, or should, because you want to understand like what the choices and principles that you've aligned to and why you're doing.
Does that mean the cognitive load goes up though?
That guy.
How much documentation does cognitive load contribute to before you know it's a problem?
So it depends.
I'm just wondering, because it's such an issue apparently with platform engineering, that I just wondered, because you like it so much, I was like, when you're doing good documentation,
you reduce it because you've signposted.
How many lines is like bad? I would have to read.
I love these facetious questions. They're really useful.
What I would love to have seen though is operating costs on that team.
Mm.
And in context to the revenue of the business that they were supporting, that I would love to see. To see that information just out of intrigue, because I don't really, an aggregate, I wouldn't know.
Yeah, exactly.
Honestly, obviously, I mean, we work with customers, but I would never know an aggregate. I've got some assumptions, but I'd love to just, I don't know all the numbers even for all these businesses. You never get it necessarily, but it'd be so interesting to see.
So in terms of like how businesses do this, right? There is a thing. It's called cost of goods sold.
Yeah.
And, you know, you've
COGS.
Good old COGS. So you've made X money and it has taken you something to deliver that value and get that revenue. That's cost of goods sold. And that means all of the things. It's like operational costs, overheads, but you know, the people that in this situation, it could be like your cloud costs, the people that you have in your teams, the licenses, all of that stuff. I would love to see the related to DevOps and, you know, platform engineering, because the cost of goods sold, like that would be so good. And then maybe even broken down on a person, like people resource kind of employee perspective.
Yeah.
And then like a license and operating costs, like compute and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I'd love that. That'd be so cool.
I know. I would like to see that. I'd be so intrigued, because it's like the principles are correct and the methodologies are correct and those things. It's not like that's bad. It's just you never get the rest of the picture to correlate it to something. And it's always a bit hidden and you never really see it. And if you've seen it in businesses, and I've obviously worked in places and kind of known some of the operating costs of the team and things like that firsthand, but that's just in one org.
Yeah.
I've never managed to compare to another. Maybe someone's done a really much better job. And you're like, wow, that's phenomenal what you've managed to achieve.
Exactly. So I'm just thinking about the report in general and data in the report being actionable versus non-actionable. So the actionable things in that report are But if you're trying to do DevOps and roll out those kind of principles and philosophies, then platform engineering, that's known, right? Like there's data, that report shows it. That's the way to do it.
Yeah.
The other stuff, which is non-actionable, just the stuff that we're talking about, that kind of articulates some of these questions, whether it's the right investment, the right mix of investment in that team, and how you should really.
But what are you benchmarking against, though, if you don't have the other stuff?
Yeah. Well.
As in, how do I know for that business that that was right? Because unless I've looked at enough businesses of similar...
What, centralizing versus decentralizing?
No, as in, not out of that.
Centralizing of it.
I could still do the centralizing badly. So, is what I'm saying. As in, like, it could still centralize and it might be really expensive and I still could get the right metrics.
Mm.
But until I've benchmarked and it's been like, well, these companies have done it at this price.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'd be like...
Comparatively,
maybe I'm like, ooh, God, mine was way higher than that. Or it just helps you be better because you're like, you drive for a different approach. Or you want to go speak to them to see how they did it and help share knowledge and information. That would then help the business.
Yeah.
So without it, it's like, I'm not, you can centralize and there'll be teams doing it really well, 100%. It's just... You don't know who they are and what well really meant outside of those things, which I feel just really cool if you could be like, man, you smashed it. Like you managed to deliver all that value at that price point.
Yep.
Absolutely nailed it.
Yeah.
Like, go and poach the team. Poach the team. I'm an inquisitive person, so I kind of like to see the full picture, rather than a partial slice. But that's just me. So anyway, that was the state of DevOps report.
Yeah.
That were my...
We should put a link. So
findings.
We'll put a link to where you can find the report as well.
Yeah, that's a really good idea. Definitely, yeah.
And as always, we'd love to hear from you. So like, comment, subscribe. Cool.
Bye.